Chapter 7 Exaltation. "Darling," Alice said to Arthur one day, "I found out that Leary and the guys are going to the countryside. I'd like to go too, because I'm already walking." "My precious, will you be able to reach the place?" "To get there, you may have to walk a couple of kilometers on the trail, and you should take care for now." "Yes, I feel like I will," Alice replied with a gentle smile. "I want to be in nature so badly."
"All right," Arthur agreed. "Ruslan and I will support you on both sides, and if anything happens, I'll carry you. I'm so glad you're getting better, my love."
And so they set off. Alice was as happy as a child as she walked along the path, surrounded by fragrant flowers and snow-capped mountains in the distance.
"Honey, I can walk again. I can see this beauty," she exclaimed. "I'm so happy, and I thought I was going to spend my life in a wheelchair in a room and see nature only in pictures. Yes, the healing Dajita mantra and the circle healing prayer work wonders."
They came to a clearing where all of Lyria's students were sitting around a fire. When they saw Alice and her friends, they jumped up and greeted them with shouts of joy. Many of them rushed over and hugged Alice.
"We're so glad you're doing well," Lyria said. "I want to tell you something important," Alice said, as everyone settled around the fire. "When I was sitting in the wheelchair, I began to feel that I was not my sick body. I felt that I was placed in it like a spacesuit, very heavy and uncomfortable. In the dream, I was in a different body. It was healthy, and I was walking and dancing quite freely. But when I woke up in the morning, I felt imprisoned again. Not even because my legs were not obeying me and I could not walk, but because the physical body was not as light and comfortable as the dream body."
Alice paused and glanced at those present, who were listening to her with bated breath.
"I realized that we are slaves of the physical body and have to live its life," the girl continued. "To depend on it all the time, to spend all our strength to serve it, to look for food, shelter, clothes, medicine, and many other things. And if, God forbid, it catches a cold or simply gets a headache, then the soul cannot think, feel, perceive the world, experience positive emotions, enjoy life as before because of its ill health. We are dependent on the state of this body. Because of it, we live in this hard world, where we have to get food, eat other creatures, fight for the survival of this body. And this identification with the body and its needs makes people greedy for food, clothing, shelter, transportation. For this body, people have to fight each other for these resources for its life and well-being. To fight, to hate each other, to envy if someone has more, to take offense because of it, to experience fear that they may lose something belonging to the body. That's where all evil comes from, everything. And I ask you, do not identify with the bodily things. Live the aspirations of your soul. Although, of course, you should make sure that the body is healthy. Do the katas of the Sampo system, which will help you to be healthy. Because only a healthy body allows our soul to live and develop harmoniously."
When Alice finished speaking, there was a hearty applause.
"I am glad, my dear," said Lyria, "that you have passed this lesson of God with such dignity, that you have learned so many truths from it. That must be why God has brought you back to health so quickly. Let us all pray together and thank him for this miracle."
With hands folded in awe, the people deepened in heartfelt prayer, praising the Creator. Afterwards, sitting around the campfire, people started having fun, telling anecdotes and interesting stories. Arthur especially remembered an anecdote told by Victor, a lean, wiry man with long hair, gathered in a ponytail on the top of his head.
The husband is lying on the sofa, watching TV, and his wife says to him, "Our daughter smokes, drinks, doesn't sleep at home, and recently they found a syringe with drugs on her."
"It's no big deal," the husband replies calmly, waving away as if nothing is going on. A month later, the husband again lies on the couch, and the wife again tells him,
"Our daughter does not smoke, does not drink, sleeps at home, reads some prayers."
Oh, so she's in a cult. We must save her, the husband said, and jumped up from the couch.
When Victor finished his anecdote, a ringing laughter sounded around the fire. And then Ruslan picked up his guitar and sang a song of his own composition.
How happy is he who has met someone in his life, the one who will always lead the way, he whom God has marked with a special gift, who carries the truth. Master, reveal the truth. Master, be a light to me. Master, reveal the truth. And through the hardships of transformation, he always leads to freedom. Through misunderstandings and doubts, always onward, only forward.
Everyone liked the cheerful song very much, and again the people applauded appreciatively. When the applause died down, Arthur took the floor.
I have been meditating and observing myself for a long time, and this song was born out of it, he said,
taking the guitar from Ruslan's hands. He began to sing, and everyone listened to him with interest and attention.
You live in a beautiful world, with your mind dulled by dreams, all in an illusory shell, walking on the edge of the abyss, blissful in a dream of madness, in somnambulistic hypnosis. You think you're sane, with a drug in a lethal dose. You carelessly kill time. You quietly indulge in death. The sacred seed of spirituality. The devils have long ago eaten away at you.
And again, the space around the campfire was filled with sounds of applause and approving words. And after the songs, everyone got up and went swimming in the beautiful mountain lake. Alice went into the water with tears.
I already thought I would never swim again, she admitted to Lyria, and began to kiss the water.
God loves you. He will not leave you in trouble, replied Lyria. Joyful and happy, splashing like a child, she went ashore. Arthur met her with a large bouquet of mountain flowers.
Here, this is for you, my love,
he said, and held out the bouquet to her. She took it gently and, admiring the flowers, inhaled their enchanting fragrance. Then, full of happiness and delight, she threw herself on Arthur's neck and began to kiss him tenderly. The evening before sunset, Lyria suggested, Let us meditate on the sunset. Sit down and purify your true self from identification with the mind, body, and emotions. Look at them from the outside. Study how the being in which you live is organized.
The setting sun colored the clouds in fanciful pinks, oranges, reds, and yellows. The light slowly changed shades of color as it descended to the ground, and the clouds, floating across the sky, changed their marvelous patterns. It was truly a fairy tale magic picture. Weightless, puffy clouds above and small cumulus clouds below, like shaggy cotton candy clouds. And somewhere, small clouds floated by. The rays of the setting sun, passing through the edges of the clouds, formed a shimmering web of light. The darkness was already coming from the east, from which the first shining stars looked at the people. A lovely, iridescent melody played, further enhancing the meditative mood. In this miraculous moment, it was as if Arthur had a gap between him and some observer he could not define, realizing that this was the true him, and he had always been only him, not his receptacle in the form of a physical body.
How strange, he silently thought, or rather felt. What kind of man is this that I live in? I don't like him very much. I wouldn't want to live in him. He is so stupid, willful, weak, all made up of habits and complexes. Why do I live in it? Can I change him? But he doesn't want to. He'll resist. And how can I change him? After all, if I fall asleep again and consider myself this person, it will be impossible to change. I will forget about this desire and will live the contradictory desires of the stranger, thinking that it is me. I'm fed up with him. Why should I live his life instead of my own life of pure spirit? Everything about this stranger is so mechanical. He is so rigid, a puppet of external influences.
a somnambulist. There is nothing genuine, nothing real about him. God, it's horrible to live in this corpse I thought I was. God, there are people like that all around me. They don't know who they really are. I'm living among puppets, zombies. How scary it is.
Arthur stood up and looked around. People had finished meditating and were going about their business, preparing for sleep. He walked around them in exultation, seeing that everyone around him was asleep, completely fused with alien shells, dreaming alien thoughts, reacting mechanically, taking offense, laughing. It seemed to him that he had entered an enchanted realm. Ruslan tried to speak to him.
What's the matter with you, buddy?
He turned around, but found it difficult to answer his friend. Then Lyria, seeing Arthur's condition, pulled Ruslan back.
Don't disturb him yet. He had found himself. Reality had revealed itself to him.
Looking at Lyria, Arthur saw that she was in the same state as he was, only she had apparently gotten the hang of it, and could act in it as if nothing much was going on. She was not sleeping like everyone else, so she understood what was happening to him.
Be in this state as much as possible, she said to him.
The men gradually went to bed, and Arthur sat down by Alice's tent and gazed at the distant stars until he fell asleep. In the morning, he woke up in his usual state and found that Alice had carefully covered him with a plaid. She sat beside him and watched over his sleep. Arthur smiled at her.
I'm sorry, love, he said, taking her hand. I couldn't come to you last night and go to bed. I had an insight.
I know. Don't worry, sweetheart, Alice said affectionately. Lyria told me that you had reached awakening, but you were not yet accustomed to it and were in exaltation. I was in the tent, but I was awake, worried about you and whether you were cold. And when I heard that you fell asleep, I covered you, and I was sitting here, waiting for you to wake up. It's dawn. Are you going to have breakfast?
I love you so much, Arthur said, pulling her to him and hugging her to him,
kissing her softly on the lips. She hugged him too, touching his hair with her hand. After the kiss, they looked at each other for a long time with loving eyes.
I've lost that state since this morning, Arthur said. I'm having trouble even remembering what it was like.
Don't worry, darling. This is the first glimpse. Gradually, you'll reach it forever, Lyria told me.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org.